Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all these things and put off anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. It has been some 20 years since I've stood in the pulpit, because my dear wife, who's now passed away, she was ill for many years. It still affects me after 18 months. We had a wonderful life in the Lord, and she dearly loved the Lord. And I'm so, so glad that she now resides with her Savior. Yes. What a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae explains why their worship is worldly. And we must go back to chapter 2 to find out what is happening there. And it says in verse 13 of chapter 2, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us our sins, having cancelled the written code which regulates that was given us and stood opposed to us." So we can see here that the Jewish Christians were trying to convert the followers of Paul back to Judaism and taking on the old self. As we all know, our heads control our emotions and everything we do, whether it's good or bad, we are controlled by this. We know that our actions are instantaneous. When we're driving our car, we don't have to think about changing gear. It's done, because our actions are instantaneous. They never, never stop. Yes, we have a rebellious mind. We were born into a rebellious world. And only Christ himself can give us the new spirit. He alone has paid that awful price of Calvary for you, for me, for everyone who comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the world today they have no fear of God whatsoever. The name of Jesus is gone out the door, and people do not recognize that God is in control, even in this world today. As it stands, he alone created all things for his good. And it is only that man has put aside the things of God and taken on the things of the world and made a complete, absolute mess of it. And we can see this in governments and in industry. Corruption is rife from the top to the bottom. And this gives us an indication that Christ's return is near. And I bring to you this fallen world. And Paul, in his letter from prison to the Colossian church and to the Ephesians, and all the other five churches, he tells them there is only one way only, to the Lord Jesus Christ and to a heavenly dwelling. Yes, the Spirit dwells in each and every one of us who believe. And we know that the soul enters the body on conception. And the Holy Spirit enters the body on conversion. And now we live for the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Our heavenly places is set out for us before him. He has made the way possible. There is no other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I keep on about the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is no greater advocate for salvation, because he made the way on Calvary. I have written down many notes, but I know the Holy Spirit has taken over. And I am only saying what the Holy Spirit tells me. And you see Jesus on that cross, and we forget totally that he was as human as you and I. Yet he bore the pain of that cross. Put yourself in his place. The pain of those nails going through his feet and his hands. And they weren't just smooth nails. They were rough. And his cross wasn't smooth. It was rough. Like that old rugged cross behind us. Always reminds me of Calvary. Yes, what a wonderful, wonderful salvation we have costs us absolutely nothing, but cost him his life. Oh, yeah. In all creation, we have Jesus. We have a treasure far beyond anything the world can give. We are blessed. We are adopted. When I think of adoption, I think of a story I heard. Two little girls arguing which one was loved more by the family. And one said, "Well, I was born into the family. You were adopted." And the other one thought for a minute and she said, "Yes, you might have been born into the family, but I was chosen." And we have all been chosen. Even before the world began, it boggles our mind how God knew us before our parents, our grandparents, or right back to the beginning. He knew who were going to be his. And I've often said this to people, unless the Lord moves the heart, we can speak to them as much as we like. Until the Lord opens the heart of people to listen, then they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And you see, this, we have the same situation today as Adam and Eve. Satan came along when God told Eve and Adam that the fruit in the center of the garden was not to be touched or eaten. The Satan comes along, puts doubts, and this is the first doubt ever put into man's mind. Did God really say? Yes, he did say, "You must not eat of the fruit in the center of the garden. Otherwise you will die." Because we know that Adam and Eve were made perfect until sin entered their bodies. And ever since then, men and women have been thrown into hell. And it is only by the grace of God that he made the way possible for us. You see, we have in the Bible, in Exodus 20, a beautiful and worthy sayings. "Thou shalt not have any gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. On the Sabbath day, keep it holy, for I am the Lord." But alas, even Christians today don't adhere to the calling of the Sabbath day of rest. Because what we reap is what we sow. And in these lovely, beautiful sayings of God, the Ten Commandments, so easy to follow, but yet so difficult to carry out, because we live in a fallen state. It's only by grace that we have been saved. We are still sinners. But God has made that way. So how do we come to know God? For we have to accept, like I had to many years ago, that God was calling me to himself. I didn't realize it at the time. But it took nearly 20 odd years after that calling that God called me to himself. And I'll tell you the situation I was in. I was in the Merchant Navy for about 15 years. And I was lying on the deck in the Indian Ocean because there was no air conditioning in those days in the cabins. And it was hot. Lying on the deck on a blanket. And I looked up in the Indian Ocean and I can still see vividly the vision I saw of the stars, the flashing of the lightning, the sound of the sea. And I said to myself, there must be something more to life than this. But it took God another 20 years to show me the way. And when we moved to Great Grandston, the pastor at the church, we were passing, my wife and I were passing, and he says, come and join us on Sunday. And he was preaching on the second coming of God. And it frightened the daylight out of me. It really, really did. And every sermon George Arnott was his name, he said, don't take it from me, go home and study it. And I went home and my wife said to me, you're going to make yourself ill studying. I says, I've got to prove him wrong. But God had different ideas. He knew I was his. And from that day to this, I have never, never failed to love my Savior. For he has made the way for a sinner such as me to come to the glorious heavenly places. Because when we pray, we are in that throne room of the Holy Spirit, speaking directly to Almighty God. Would we dare come before the King of this country uninvited? No, we wouldn't. But God Almighty invites us to come in prayer and supplication. Oh, dear me, what a privileged people we are. Absolutely privileged. So, we must keep on searching and searching. Because we know, by faith, the best in Christ has still to come. Wow! What a salvation. When we read Revelation 21, it can blow our minds. The streets of gold, pearls, every precious stone ever made will be there. But the glory of God will be in the center. As we know, there'll be no more sun, no more moon, no more stars, no more sea. Only the glory of God will be there. Are we privileged enough? We certainly are. And when I think, I'm a very emotional person. And when I think of what we were and what we are now, it brings tears to my eyes. Knowing what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. Oh, can we thank him enough? No, we will never be able to thank him enough. Never. But he asks so little. All he asks is for us to repent of our sins. That is all he asks. And the world makes heavy work. Oh, you can't have this, you can't have that without, you've got to have works. The Roman Catholic Church preaches that. You go to heaven by works, not by faith. And we know you have to have faith to come before Almighty God. For without faith, we have nothing. So, dear sisters and brothers, as I come and I tremble before the Lord, for it is his word, not mine. And I bring it, Lord, before you now, through the Holy Spirit. For all I have written, I have not used. It just goes to show that when you lean on the Lord, he will fill you, pressed down and flowing over. You see, there's nothing God withholds from us. It's our own fault, our doubts, our fears, and our unbelief that lands us into trouble every time, because we do not take to the Lord in prayer. I'm a failure as anyone else. I am far, far from perfect. It is only when we are raised with Christ that we will be perfect as he is perfect. Until then, we must fight the good fight with Christ and walk out of the darkness into his glorious light. For those who are seeking can see that light at the end of the tunnel, like I did. I saw that light 20 years before I found that light. It was only that light drew me closer and closer to God himself. So what can we say about the Lord Jesus Christ? There is nothing to be added. He is the bread of life. He is the manna that feeds us through the Holy Spirit. He led his children, and he still leads his children into the promised land. And I will tell you now, I am looking forward at 86 years old to that day when the Lord calls me home. And this is a wonderful prospect. It's a new life beginning. We live here, but it's only temporary. It may be 86 years in our sight, but is nothing in God's sight. 1,000 years like a day, day like 1,000 years. And he alone knows our destiny. Let us then for be not like the unsaved, who have no thought for God whatsoever. And there are millions and millions of unsaved in false religions, which are rife, false doctrines, which are getting more and more. And we see this in every country in the world, a great falling away of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and making it palatable to those who are being lost. But God has always got a plan, and his plan is perfect. The perfection of God, as it was explained to me by a dear brother quite a while ago, and he said, if we could only see the minuteness part of God's glory and his power, it would blow our brains. And this is right. But one day, thank God, we will see his glory. What a wonderful day that will be. Oh, dear me. Life is so short. Oh, let us come before God in repentance of sin. For he is worthy. Worthy of all. Everything. You see, I've written a note here. Well, a couple. We have been given a lot of talents. And in Bible times, there was a rich man going away on a journey, as we know. And he gave his three servants 5, 2, and 1 talent. Now, I don't know if you realize, but a talent in those days was about 75 pounds of gold, which today would be worth a fortune. You would find that in Matthew chapter 5. So we see here that in Colossians 3 verse 17, we see here, when I find it, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through the Father. Let us not be like the prodigal son that squandered his inheritance and came back humbly. How humble can we make ourselves to come before Almighty God and say to him, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. And he will indeed slay the fattest calf and draw all his friends to rejoice, put a new robe on you, and give you everlasting life. So, what must we do to guard ourselves? We must put on the full armour of God in Ephesians 6. We must put on the breastplate of righteousness, the feet of salvation that walks, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and in all of these we must do one thing that Jesus said: love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Not mine, but brother.
If it's 20 years since you last spoke in the way you've done today, I hope it's not 20 years again till you speak.